everyone. I'm Sarah Ford. I am on the Outlook.com team nowadays down in Silicon Valley campus, and I happen to be in town.
So I'm excited to have you on the show.
Thanks,
so Dan Fernandez, and you know, we got a lot of cool stuff going on, and again, more things for people to download. So you want to go through our first story, the Visual Studio 2013 update 4?
Right. Yeah. So I've actually been able to see a bunch of former colleagues, coworkers on the Visual Studio team. So it's been really cool to see. It's almost like, for me, it's almost like watching Boyhood, the movie. Because like every time like the Visual Studio updates, it's like just watching it like, I don't know, grow or something, you know, after spending so much time with it back in the day. So yeah, so the most recent version of it, CTP.
This is CTP 1?
Yeah, CTP 1, update 4. And they have some additions for some fixes for C++, let's say like perf and diagnostic improvements. And then also they've been working on how you are able to view, manage, and sort work items and backlog items as well.
Cool. So I think there was a post on Brian Harry that goes deeper into the team foundation server stuff. So if you want that, definitely check out his post as well.
Yep.
So this post is actually a friend of the show, Scott Hanselman. So awesome stuff that Mads Christensen is has added some tools, and these are separate. They're not in Web Essentials, so it's a standalone Visual Studio extension or V6. But it basically provides Gulp, Grunt, Power, and MPN support for Visual Studio. So the idea here is, and I actually thought Scott had a great description of this, where like a client programming, like with JavaScript and CSS, has become so complex that it actually requires a front-end build process. So normally you'd back-end, you'd compile your project. Now there's a front-end build process. And that's really what the tools like Gulp or Grunt do. Okay. It's sort of a task runner, if you will, doing background compilation or optimization of whether it's JavaScript or minification of files, creating less files, and so on. And then things like package management for Bower, which is kind of like the NuGet for JavaScript, and NPM, which is probably more server-side oriented, like Node.js, but there's so many Node packages that also work on the client side, and NPM is probably a little bit larger right now in terms of total packages for that. So this is really exciting, and these are tools that web developers or you know, web developers doing some level of complexity are using this to help deal with that complexity. And the fact that we have these integrated into Visual Studio is awesome. In fact, Mads and I did a Q&A on this on Channel 9 Live, and these were like direct questions, and Mads was like, yes, we're thinking about that. And like he wanted to give like the yes, I'm actually working on this code answer. So it's great to see actually from you know, Q&A and feedback from customers like you to finished product that people can start playing with. So next story is the web security reviews with NetSparker. So what is NetSparker?
Yeah, so it's a this blog post is a review of NetSparker that will scan for security vulnerabilities and on a website. But as Tori Hunt was the one who wrote this in-depth review, but he really stresses, like, understand, don't just scan it and say, okay, here are the issues, go and fix those. Like, understand why these are security issues, understand what is going on. And he also, there's apparently a Pluralsight course on understanding that he wrote, and I believe he's using the tool in the course so that you can, he's got a site that you can hack to figure out, okay, this is why, how to appropriately use this tool. It's a very in-depth review of it, so.
Is it bad that I want to run it without understanding web security?
According to this post, yeah.
I realize it's written three times in a row, but I don't think I can ever run the tool then, unfortunately. So, friend of the show, Corey Fowler, had a super interesting post, which is, Windows boxes for Vagrant, courtesy of Modern IE. So Vagrant, what it allows you to do is basically create real quick an environment, right? So if you want to spin up a VM, test something out, you know, and then kill it, you don't have to worry about it. And you kind of get a clean environment without, you know, polluting your VM. So one of the things the Modern IE team has done is actually provided support for this for VirtualBox images so that we can actually test things like different versions of IE in these spin up, spin down virtual machines, and you can all use that with Vagrant. So definitely check out Corey's post for how to do this. But this is cool stuff, and I think something that a lot of developers have been asking for too. So what is this?
Yeah, Event Starter Kit. This is it sounds like they're starting to work on kind of like conference in a box. Mm-hmm. Like you have a conference, maybe it's the first time you're setting up one, and there's a bunch of things you have to do. You have to get the website up, you got to get the mobile app up, your app up, like the registration, all the various things. And I'm surprised that there hasn't been something else out here already. But yeah, it looks like they're in early stages, and they're looking for people to help contribute to this starter event, so you don't have to keep reinventing the wheel every time you want to get a conference up and running.
Yeah, this is actually a great idea. And one, I know there are specific vendors that do this, like Event in a Box. And for Channel 9, for example, I think they use another vendor for like Tech Ed Europe and Build to manage those kind of events. So rather than having to build an iOS app and Android app for all those different platforms, you can have a vendor do that, and it takes away a lot of the work. So the fact that they're building this and to have also just think through the mobile client app is awesome, because that way you can reuse and you get the same data, everything's talking, and you're not recreating the wheel every time.
Yeah, especially for folks like me, I only attend conferences. I've never had to create one before, and I'm looking at you thinking, yeah, that's probably like 100 things you could say, yeah, watch out for this, watch out for this, watch out for this.
Yeah, exactly. So very cool stuff. Now, this is pretty sweet, story out of Australia, but basically it's bioinformatics researchers, which are people, a title so cool, I don't even understand what it is. But so they built a C# application, and it's completely free and open source that allows developers to basically correct DNA sequencing errors. So for example, you'll pull in all this stuff, and this is Paul Greenfield from CSIRO, which is the Australian National Science Agency. But basically, you'll have these sequences, and you'll say one sequence is one thing, and then you'll do it again, and like 51% of the votes say this, 49% of it is this, and it has to be one or the other. And there's automated tools, and that's what this thing does, is to basically fix these sequencing errors, drive consensus, and do it in a really high-performant way. So I love the fact that, you know, there's so many applications for DNA sequencing, and the fact that this can actually help people, and of course using C# is just kind of very cool. So, and that actually brings us to our picks of the week. So, I love Raymond Chen. He has some of the best blog posts and stories. He should frankly just, he needs his unauthorized biography on his days at Microsoft. But this is fantastic. So, I had no idea that somebody had basically challenged Steve Ballmer, who was the head of the systems division, you know, basically on what the Windows error message should be, that the Windows application stopped responding to the system. So Steve B. actually wrote the official one. Wow. It was like, wow, you know, if you don't like the text of the message, maybe you can do a better job, then go for it. And he actually ended up writing, like, what are the things? It's very action-oriented. Press escape to cancel. Press enter to close. So I thought it was pretty fascinating that it basically went in word for word from what Steve suggested.
And only Raymond wouldn't have this information.
Yeah, totally.
Like, this knowledge. Yeah.
It's awesome.
If you don't read this blog, like, go read Raymond Chen's stuff. Like, why are the folders yellow? He's got a story for everything. It's amazing.
It's awesome. Yeah. And your pick of the week.
Yes, this one. So we've all seen, like, various ways of describing how, like sorting algorithms work, or sampling algorithms with, you know, basic, like, animations. But this, I don't want to give it away, because I can't really describe how he does it. You just have to experience it. But it's, it's such a different take on visualizing what he says, algorithms. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's almost like if you were to do it over instead of just doing it as an animation, but over the course of time itself, mm-hmm. and how things, like, play out. It's a really, it's very, very well-written It was from a talk he gave, but he just draws this all out. And at the end, he goes into how mazes can be generated, auto-generated. And it's just a fascinating, like, you'll just keep, like, pressing the L and R just for the pretty pictures, and your brain kind of goes to mush, and you're just like, wow, it's so pretty.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so awesome. Definitely
all right,
check it out.
I'll definitely have to check it out. So, Sarah, yeah. Thank you again
for
being on
me.
The show. This was an awesome time,
yeah.
And we will see you all next time.
Right. Bye-bye.
Thanks.